God speaks to us this morning from the Psalms. Our reading will be Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
Before, what if a canary flew in the room and is flying around and banging up against the windows and trying to get out and flying up to the lights and trying to get out? What do? You ignore the canary? Kind of tough, isn't it? Kind of tough to ignore the canary. Somebody said 2020 is coming in with a bang. I think that was Roger. I think that's pretty literal. 2020 is taking up where 19 left off, and in fact, even more so as Trump goes one up. He doesn't just decide to engage with Iran. He engaged with Iran in a big way. Did you see that the Texas shooting happened again last week? Did you see that in the last couple weeks alone, 9 anti-Semitic attacks have taken place? Brutal. Things have not changed. I'm wearing this pin this morning. I want to wear this flag pin every Sunday. I hope somebody will say, you don't have your pin on. The reason I'm wearing it is because we will vote at the end of this year. And it's going to be very important. I don't want to go into this. This is not what the sermon is about. I think at some point we may engage with a sermon about the Middle East again, but for now it's not. But I just want to say a word about this, that as long as Trump is in the office, Iran will be on their heels. And Russia and Turkey last night are using cautious words, and yet they are projected to come down. Gary this morning was talking about all the religions of the earth wanting Jerusalem, not just them, all the kings of the earth. Alexander the Great went there. The Caesars went there. Antiochus Epiphanes went there. It wasn't about religion. It's about the spirit of the evil one. And so we need to be engaged with voting at the end of this year. I want you to be thinking about it. We do not vote for the man. We vote for the platform of the man. Do not fall in love with Trump. He will disappoint you the next time he uses the Lord's name in vain. But the next time he talks about pro-life and the borders of this nation and guarding religious freedom and especially the church, that's what we are voting for. And that will happen as long as he's in office. And Iran will be put on their heels as long as he is in office. But when the United States is taken out of the way in the Middle East, things will turn. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we go into 2020. I felt like I needed to say that. 2020 vision. Had this thought for a couple weeks now, and we took a week off last week and decided that this is probably a good thing to do to begin in 2020. What to preach? Do I preach about marriage? Do I preach about your kids or your grandkids, how to take care of them in the Lord, in the church? Do I teach about the church? Do I teach about Israel? Do I teach about the rapture and the tribulation to come? Or what do I begin 2020 with? What do we start anew with? And I begin to think on the significant themes of the Bible, the gospel. The whole thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the church, Christian living, the second coming, perseverance, false prophets. What do we preach? Well, hopefully we get to all of that at some point. But I started thinking about the Old Testament and somebody who would get us on a right start. Get us going. I thought about one of the best teachers and greatest teachers in the Old Testament was King David himself. What did he say about teaching and learning? He said in Psalm 25, he said, "Show me your ways." He didn't say, "Show me how to be a right, good husband," although there's part of it. Be a good dad, although that's part of it. All those things are part of it. But he encompassed it. He said, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Guide me in your truth and teach me." Do you know that I pray that? It's up on my wall if you ever visit me in my office. I'll buy you a cup of coffee and we'll talk over it. And I look at that every time I walk out. Because if he's not teaching me, I can't teach you. He said in Psalm 119, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. I have inclined my heart to perform them even to the very end." In chapter 34, "Come, children," then he says. Then he says, "Come, children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Lord, you teach me, and then I can teach somebody else. Start with my kids. Start with my grandkids. Start with the church." We want to continue to teach the foundation of everything. We want to continue to teach the basics of everything. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to point out to you that in that context, when Paul was saying, "I know nothing else among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified," he was talking to a rebellious, sinning church. And he had to go back to the basics. Because the book of Hebrews, which he may have written, says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ." Wait, I'm confused. No, we teach the basic foundation of Christ, and then we understand it, and we the cornerstone of Christ and the apostles as the foundation, and then we teach all of the scriptures. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." We need to be reminded of faith. Peter tells us over and over to be reminded of these things. We need to remind us every day of our faith. But your faith looks like your life. When you go after God, when you want to learn all of Him, that's your faith. Somebody said in seminary that we don't have faith. We're not searching for faith in the Bible. We're searching the Bible because we have faith. We go after Him because of our faith. So we leave the elementary foundation of repentance from dead works and faith in God and of instructions about washing and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are basic things. And this we will do if God permits. In other words, we'll continue to talk about those and we hope those foundations are laid. But then he says, "But we go on to maturity and learn about all things." And I think that's a good place to start in 2020, don't you? Lord, what do you want to teach me? Teach me everything. I'll take in all you got. Now, I don't want a hose. Sometimes Raymond gives me a hose. It's not, in fact, it's a fire hose, you know. I stand up here and just, you know, like give you all this information. And sometimes it's too much. And I understand that. But I pray that just we go beyond the foundation and the basics and understand the depth of God. Why? Why? Two reasons. Because you love Him. We want to know the one we love. "I love you, Lord. And show me your ways. Guide me in your truth and teach me." And then we're going to find out it's going to come with great reward. We will not go sideways because of our ignorance. We won't get drawn off by some stupid myth or some kind of thought that we've had for years and years and never got dealt with. And if we've been reading the Bible, we come to that and we go, Lord, I didn't really get that. I didn't understand that. But now I know. We're not ignorant any longer. How did your decade go last 10 years? How did last year go for you? How do you want the year in front of you to go? Meandering along. We don't want to meander along. We want to walk. We want to be steadfast, as David said when he started the book of Psalms. David, when you start the book of Psalms, don't you just want to start about the king and tell us about the king? Oh, he gets that in chapter 2. He goes right into the king, and we're going to talk about that next week. Chapter 1, he doesn't do that. He says, show me everything. Show me who you are. I want to know who you are. I want to know your ways. And this is what he says. He's talking to the world who believes in God. Watch this. The first words out of David's mouth in the Psalms is, blessed is the man. He's talking about men and women, of course, who walk not in the counsel of the wicked. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers. Three things here. They're not taking the counsel of the world. They're not taking the counsel of somebody else. We're reading and understanding God and Him and His principles, and we're saying, you know, that doesn't sound right to me. I mean, I'm not real strong on some of these things, but that doesn't sound biblical to me, what you're saying. I understand about marriage, and I understand about committing adultery and stealing. Those are in my heart, and those are kind of the foundations, but what you're saying doesn't make sense. Let me go to the Word. Let me find a principle in the Word. How did David handle this, or Moses, or Noah, or Abraham? And when you read their lives, you go, that's what Abraham did. Do you know what Abraham did? Do we know what David did and Solomon and others? Right and wrong? We know His Word, and we know His principles and how to act in 2020. We have a great vision for the year to come. We don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't do what they do. We don't go down that road. And nor do we sit in the seat of scoffers. Isn't scoffing become kind of a rampant thing? I mean, there are people just firing off left and right. Yesterday I was in a conversation with somebody, and I tried to say, she asked a question, and I said, well, can I interject something? And I tried to go, you know, kind of not neutral, but like, you know, the Lord has those answers for us, and we can look into those. And boy, then all of a sudden she, you know, lambasted the religion, and then she got right into Trump. I mean, right into Trump. Right into, I mean, he wasn't even in discussion. Well, Trump is not the conversation, is he? He is not the conversation. It is what God wants to do in America, what God is doing on this planet, the redemption to come, and how He's going to get us there. It's not going to be pretty at first, but He's going to bring all kinds of millions, if not billions and billions, of people into His redemption. That's what He's about. That's the big picture. Well, how does that look like? How does He do that? It hurts. There's blessings and it hurts. And we'll talk about some of that. But he says, my delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. You know what the law means? You know what that word means? It means law. It means law. Now, when you and I read that, we go, David, how many times have you read the Ten Commandments? You know, and how many times can you read the Ten Commandments? What comes to mind? You who've watched old movies or been around a long time, you've heard, oh, here comes the law. You know, remember the policeman, oh, watch it, here comes the law. Or walk according to the law, or walk according to the letter of the law, or run from the law, right? Because the law is the policeman and he's the judge. And he's got a book and a gun and a badge. Is that what David's talking about? Is that what David's talking about? We think of rules, and we think of the negative judgment and the rules. But did you know that God's law is both positive and negative? Here's what I mean by that. It's like a battery. You have a positive and a negative. Talk to Dan or Roger or some of those guys who work with this stuff and ask if a battery's going to run if you unplug the negative. Is it going to help you? It'll run. It'll sit there, contain its energy, but it's not going to do anything for you. You have to put the negative charge in and the positive charge into your engine to get going. And so the Lord says, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Don't walk in the way of sinners. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't even covet. We don't want what you have. God's got something for us. I don't need what you have. I'm not jealous. Those are the don'ts. Those are the negative aspects. Now, when I say negative, the law is good. All the law is good. But the negative connotations is don't. And that's the negative. It's a part of a battery and it's good. Okay? But don't do this. But I remember when I was 15 or 16, I just got into church, and I remember a preacher up there saying, there's more do's in the Bible than there are don'ts. There's a lot more do's in the Bible than don'ts. The positives are, yes, do this and do that. But I want you to think about it this way. They're more like the law is, think about it like a decree, okay? Like, let's just use an example, okay? You're a landowner. You own 500 acres. You don't own the road around them. You own the property, okay? You can go out there and you can do certain things, but there's still regulations and taxes on your property, right? The water that runs and electricity. So you're a landowner, but you go, wait a minute, I'm still paying the city and the county what, you know, and. And when I need help from the cops, or if the tax guy comes up, or you know what I'm saying? We're not the law, are we? I mean, this is my house, and the law said that I can defend it. The law said I can park here, and boy, I can't park an RV out on the yard, you know, or on the road. But it's my house. I can do whatever I want? No, you can't. But what if you're the king? What if, like we read this morning, or we sang this morning, he's the king of the earth. And then that king says, you can do whatever you want that shows my character. So let's think about this now. You got a kingdom up here, and he's got a castle, and there's a man in a castle, and he owns all the land, and you and I are serfs. We have a plot of land out here, and he says, you know what? You take a plot of land, and you plow it, and take everything, sell as much as you want. I'd like 10% so you can feed me, because it is my land, and bring in 10%, and I want to feed the poor people, and there's water running there. Take all the water you want. Don't dam it up. You know, don't pollute it. You find gold on your land, I want 10%. You can have the gold. You can have the oil. Nowadays, they might take more than that, right? God's saying 10%, and I'm using that as an Old Testament tithe, by the way. Just an example. But see, the king is saying, you do whatever you want within my realm, and you're going to get all kinds of blessings from this. The only thing that you get from the county is don't do this and don't do that. And yes, you may do that. There's no blessings. You create your own blessings. But when you're in God's kingdom, he has stated these decrees. He has stated these things that are positive. In Psalm 119, which, when was the last time you read Psalm 119? Have you ever read it? You stay there and he says, I love your statutes, I love your commands, I love your laws, I love you this, I love you that. And you go over and over and he says rules and all that. And I want you to think about this. He uses this. In 119, he uses rules 17 times. Okay? So I love your, I mean, in one chapter, which is a long chapter, but he uses the word rule 17 times. Have you ever told a cop, I love your rule? Judge, 17 times I'm going to tell you, I love your rule, right? Or have you ever told the county, I love your statute 23 times in a letter? He uses it 23 times. Statutes. I love your statute. We know what statutes are, right? They're always kind of, you know, put your shed this far away from your line. And, you know, you can't have this against that. And, you know, that kind of stuff. Or your commandments, 20 times. Precepts, 21 times. Law, 25 times. Wait a minute. In one letter, 20, 40, 60, 80, 125 times? Would you like to get a letter from Roger next week with this 25 times, 125 times saying, you know, I love your laws. Well, first of all, I don't have any. But it would seem like a boring letter, right? Does he mean you better be reading the Ten Commandments over and over and over and over? What does Paul mean by his rules and decrees and statutes and commandments? He's talking about the whole book. The whole book is a decree. Now, think about this. Genesis 1:14. And the sun and the moon and the stars will be my hosts. There's a decree. And the sun and the moon, they will be for signs and seasons. Oh, there's a decree. Wait a minute, that's not one of the Ten Commandments. You can't call that a decree. Well, God decreed it. It's written down. You see? Husbands, love your wives. Be kind to them. That's a decree. That it may go well with you. There's another decree. You see? I have decreed, God is saying, I have decreed that these things be so for the blessings that you will receive if you understand my laws and commands and precepts and rules and statutes. You see? And don't we want to know all of those? Yeah, wait a minute, I just want just give me the gospel. You know, just give me the Roman road. Do you need the Roman road? Somebody may here need the Roman road, but do we need it? No, we need it. Now listen, we need to be reminded of it, okay? But if you have the Roman road, I'm a sinner, and Jesus Christ died for me, and I'm going to go to hell if I don't. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. But Jesus Christ came and paid for my sins, and now he's going to raise me from the dead and all those kinds of things. We know that, right? That's basically the Roman road. Do I need to preach that every day? Do you need to read it every day? Maybe for a month. Maybe to be like, Lord, you really meant this, right? Yeah, but what else did he mean? Well, he meant that he's going to put that son up there. He meant what he told Noah and all the promises that were going to come from Noah. And he also meant that the evil was going to come too. And the tribulation is going to come. Those are decrees. Those are statutes and laws and commands. He's telling Magog and Gog, I'm going to bring you down. You know, everybody's saying, well, they want to do this, and Iran wants to do this. And they want to do this, and he's going to use their evil heart for his good. God is commanding that he carry out their good. It is all a decree and his law and his statute. So I say, I love your word. Do you know how many times he uses the word? More than any others. 30 times. He uses it 30 times. I love your word. I walk by your word. Teach me your word. And so when you go into 2020, where do you start reading? Pick a book. You can go from Genesis to Revelation and do all that. That's wonderful stuff, by the way. Do that. Be careful of the devotion thing. Like, Lord, here's a minute of my time here, or a couple minutes of my time. No, I'm going to go there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to take some notes. Romans 1, Romans 13. Just get right into it. Jump in anywhere. It's all his decreed statutes. And by the way, the decreed statutes equals blessing. Because here's the blessing. The delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree. That's a decree, you know. That's a law and a decree. God is saying to you that if you do this, if you meditate on his word and his law and his statutes, you're going to be like a tree. I'm not sure I want to be like a tree. You want to be like a tree in God. You're planted by the streams of water, not just a tree, but you're planted by the streams of water of blessing, of God's blessings, that yields fruit in its season. God has a season for us that we go through. That's a decree. There's a statute for a decree in your life. You will go through seasons. And there's going to be a season where you're just going to blossom. Everybody else is like brown and kind of like outside right now. And you say, why does that tree have pears on it? Maybe talk to Gary, you know. It's in the Word. He's planted by the water when nobody else was. I was reading the Bible when nobody else was. I understand the Middle East because I read Ezekiel and Zephaniah and Zechariah and Haggai and all the other prophets, because they're not just foreseeing stuff coming. They're not foreseeing the bad coming. They're foreseeing the decrees of God coming. And it yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, prospers. Now, you know those people who have been walking in the Lord for a long time. It just seems like they just... I saw a funeral yesterday with the gymnasium in this little town was packed, and they were doing a funeral for an older gal, and some of my buddies are there, and one of them in particular, he's just in God, you know, he's just in Christ, he just reads and preaches and talks, and he's walking in the Lord all the time. Is he a sinner? Yeah, I know him. He's a sinner, but he's a tree. He's a tree, and so. What happens is he started a long time ago. Some of us started later. It doesn't matter. 2020 is here. Your vision for 2020 is here. I should say God's vision for you in 2020. Well, do you know the surgery I'm going to have in a couple weeks? You know, do you know the cancer that I have? Or this stuff did not catch us by surprise. He says, in its season, you will prosper. You will bear fruit in all that you do. Now, it's going to look negative sometimes. Ugh. You know, they're going through a rough time. You know, they're going through some of this stuff. But look how they stand like a tree while they're going through it. They're withstanding the winds and the lack of moisture elsewhere. But we're in the, remember what Paul said? To the husband washing the word and the woman in the church through the water of the word. That's what it is. It being soaked up through our roots, and I understand God and I understand his principles. And if I don't, I'm going to go ask somebody, or I'm going to look in the Bible and find out. Because I want to be blessed in his way this year. He will not be moved. Ephesians 5:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God. Now, stop there for a second. Where do you find the whole armor of God? Okay, yeah, you'll say Romans is going to help us, and Ephesians is definitely going to help us. And where else? The whole Bible. The whole Bible. Because it talks about the helmet of salvation. Where does that start? Well, way back, at least in Genesis chapter 3, if not before. And Abraham and Isaac and all these things, right? I mean, that's all the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the feet shod with the gospel of peace, right? Where's that? That's all over the Bible. And so what Paul says here is that take up this armor that you may be able to what? Stand like that tree. You're going to be able to stand. There's two things that he's saying here. He's going to say this. You're going to be able to stand in the evil day. And then he says, therefore stand. So there's a command, a decree, stand. And if you stand, you will be able to stand. But then he's going to help me stand, but then I'm going to be able to stand. It's the positive and negative part of the battery. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, and in that day I am able to stand. You stay in the Word. You learn it. You love it. Have you ever read Chronicles? Have you ever read Numbers? Do we get all those numbers? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we get through there, and I went through Numbers, Lord, and I don't understand it. And then we get somewhere else. We go, wait a minute, time out. I'm back over here in like 2 Kings, and now I got to go back to Numbers because I just read something. I understand now. But you're not going to get it unless you're reading it. You're not going to get it unless you're reading it. If you don't walk in His ways, you can't stand. You can't stand. You see, because there's another decree. The wicked are not so. But they are like chaff, like the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, there's some negative decrees there, right? That's the negative part of the decree that we would say is bad. It's not bad. It's that you're going to not. They can't. You understand? They don't know God. They're not in the light and in the light of His Word. They don't walk in His ways. In fact, they're the mockers. They're the scoffers. Well, we ought to give them a chance, right? I mean, everybody gets a trophy, right, nowadays? No, that's not what God has decreed. He says, if you work at it, you're going to prosper. If you're in my light and in my word and by the water, you're going to prosper. Now, look at this here a little bit. In someplace else, the word by Jesus calls the people of the world either a weed or a wheat, a tare or a wheat, right? And then there's the harvest coming. But listen, they're not even weeds. They're not even standing. They're worse than weeds. They are laid on the ground with no ability. Now, here's what I'm getting at here, please. They don't have any roots. They're not planted anywhere. And the wind comes and blows them away. That's what happens to the wicked. It's a negative decree in the aspect that it's a sad thing that happens. But it's going to happen. And you and me, we're going to pick up the word and let's see, I haven't done real well in the last decade or so, but I'm going to start reading and start walking in His ways. And all of a sudden, you got a few leaves out here on this limb. And you got a little bit of fruit out there and you see these little buds coming out. And somebody's going to say, what happened to you? And your relatives are going to say, what happened to you? And some of your relatives are going to say, what happened to you? Until the time that they need prayer. Until the time that they need you and say, there's some fruit over there. I don't understand how he or she got there, but I need to ask them for prayer. I need to ask them what's happening in your life. Why are you different? Why are you different from everybody else? Because I walk in His word, in the light of His love, as the song goes. I'm walking in it. I'm standing in it. I'm sitting in it in the congregation of the righteous. This is where I sit. And I love it. I love it. You're going to bear fruit. You're not going to wither. You're going to prosper. You will prosper. Not in your season, in the season that you think possible, but God's. If a good hunter or a good golfer or even a good gardener or a farmer, if I can, you know, if a good worker or you're at your job and you like your job and you're doing good at it, and all of a sudden, like 20 years later, do you see this guy? This lady, she's good. And so you see what she does? That's great. That is a decree of the Lord. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to be a good salesman or a good farmer or a good fisherman, whatever. If you're a hunter and you do that, if you golf, you're going to be a good golfer. But how much time do you put in it? That's a decree that God has settled. If you're going to reap what you sow. However, when you are in God and in his kingdom, it's a twofold decree. It's going to happen because it's the law of the earth. God has decreed it, and God's blessing is on you. It is something that God loves to see. Look at my trees. Look at this church. Look at this person, this mom, this dad, this child. Because they're in my word. They're walking by my word. And he, remember, the eyes of God were to and fro throughout the earth. And he's looking for the righteous. Okay, decree, 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 decree. It's going to happen. Not in your timing, not in your timing. God's timing. Matthew 13:8, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold. And some 30. See, that's God's decree. This person, 100-fold. This person, 60. This 30. Well, I'd rather have more. I'd rather have 60, or I'm not even going to try. Don't you want what God wants? At any time that he wants it, that's what we want. Go back to Psalm 119, where we had like 125, what we would call negatives. They're not, okay? They're positive decrees, rules, and statutes. Let's go back there. Promise is named. In this 125 statutes and rules, promise is said 13 times. Blessings 4 times. Gracious 3 times. He's going to hide you. He's going to shield you. Steadfast love. God's steadfast love 8 times. So, you see this? Where I love his whole word. I love who he is. I want to find out who he is and how I'm to walk in, whether I'm a grandpa or a grandma or a businessman or whatever, part of the church, whatever it is. I want to find out what it is. And God says, I love you. I'm going to pour blessings on you. These are the promises to you that we may not remember. Abraham and some of them didn't get it in this lifetime. It may be in the millennium. Do not let that detour you, because it's eternity once you get there. God is not an ogre. God is not an ogre. He's not the cop that's sitting behind you in the black and white or sitting alongside the road and we go, oh, put him on, you know, slow down. If there was a huge Bible on the side of the road, you were going down 55 miles an hour, would you look at your, I better check my speed limit? No, I don't know about you, but I'd be rejoicing. When you see a big cross alongside the road, I don't know if you've ever been from through Oklahoma and Texas there, right along the road, there's a huge, I mean, just a humongous cross. And you see that and you, oh boy, Lord's a judge and he's on me, I better slow down. No, that's not what's going through your mind. You're saying, wow, that's awesome. Look at that big Bible sitting up there. Because we love it. It's our hope. It's God's decree for the church and the world if they will take it. It comes down to learning God's ways. It comes down to learning his rules and his precepts and his laws and his statutes and his promises and his blessings and his future and even the past. And you will be a tree in 2020. I don't know what kind of tree. You're going to be some kind of fruit tree. And that fruit is going to be picked off and used by the rest of the church and your family and everybody. You will be a blessing, he promises, if we trust, if we hide in him, if we run to him and learn and know his ways, we will not be shaken in 2020. Lord, we worship you today. We praise you today, and like Roger said, this year has come in with a bang, a literal bang. Something drastic has happened. But we know that you have the timing of what we would call negative decrees. Negative in that they hurt and they've got to happen and there's judgment involved. But they're wonderful Because they bring about your positive. They bring about the blessings if we believe and if we trust. If we're warned from those things that are coming and we run to you like a strong tower, we are safe, the Bible says. Your word says. So please, I pray for everyone here and all of those associated with this church that you will put in their hearts the love and desire to go after your word. That they will say, like David said, I will meditate on your law day and night. That doesn't mean trying to understand it all and stuff, but I'm just going to think about it. I'm going to be blessed in it. I'm going to try to understand it. We're going to walk in your ways and try to know you. Because you are the only hope. And by the way, you're the only king. You're the one who owns the land. You're the one that owns the earth. And you're the one that's going to bring us into your kingdom one day. We can't wait. Until then, help us to be trees in your garden, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.